Good afternoon and welcome to this week's episode of Ours to Protect. Thousands of dairy farmers attended Moor Park 23, the Chagask National Dairy Event, which took place recently. The theme of this year's event was securing a sustainable future. Since milk quota removal, the dairy industry has gone through a transformation. This has occurred against the backdrop of an economic crisis, a global pandemic and the war in Ukraine. Chagask says it's now important to take stock of the next phase of development for the dairy industry as a whole. Future developments require close alignment with EU and national policy objectives, particularly focusing on reduced carbon emissions, improved animal welfare, better water and air quality, and greater biodiversity. Michael Egan is a research officer with the Chagask Animal and Grassland Research and Innovation Centre.
If we look at our emissions targets, and there are sectorial targets for each of the industries that we have, and agriculture has a greenhouse gas emissions target of a 25% reduction and climate neutral by 2025 and a 5% in ammonia reduction by 2030. So we have clear targets. We're a long way off reaching those targets, and there's currently practices and technologies in place currently that will get us some of the way there, and new technologies that are going to be in place going forward as well. So we have strict targets to get there. We're going in the right direction. The most recent emissions targets for agriculture did show a slight decline in emissions being emitted from the agricultural sector last year, mainly driven by a large decline in nitrogen fertilizer use. But we do have key strong targets that we do need to meet by 2030. And looking at kind of where we are in terms of achieving those and our start point, and I suppose that's our main thing. It's our start point relative to where we were in 2018. And if we look at our greenhouse gases, our carbon footprint per kilo of milk produced at the moment in Ireland, it's about 0.88. So less than 1 kilo of carbon footprint for every kilo of human edible milk that's been produced. And if we look at some of our European counterparts, they're above one. So we are starting from a good position, but we do have further ways to go.
Nationally, farmers reduced their nitrogen fertiliser use by 14% last year, and farmers are adopting the technologies to further reduce chemical nitrogen by incorporating white and red clover into their farming systems and by using low-emission slurry spreading techniques to optimise the efficient use of nutrients in animal manure.
There have been key changes to the Nitrates Directive in the last number of years that farmers had key practices put in place in terms of lying spreading, changes to the organic fertiliser spreading dates, soil testing regimes, and they have been in place for the last 12 to 36 months, depending on the key parameters that has put in place. And if we look at our water quality, so first of all, they need to be allowed to work going forward. And if we look at our water quality, so if we look back to 2014 to 2016, so around quota abolishment, we were at 38% of our national waterways were in, and this is the EPA data report that was published earlier on this year. So we're at 38% at poor or unsatisfactory levels. In 2018, the period from 2018 to 2020, we did see a significant rise from 38% up to 48% or 47% of those rivers in poor or unsatisfactory levels. Now, a lot of that was driven by the drought and our nitrogen management around that drought period in 2018. And we have learnt a lot from that in terms of our nitrogen management strategies around drought, dry periods. And we've seen, if we look at that period from 2020 to 2022, the most recent reporting coming out from the EPA, we're at 40%. So we're coming back to that kind of 2014 levels again at 38%, 40%. So we have made significant improvements. We're not where we need to be, but it is going in the right direction. And some of the practices and technologies that have been put in place are showing some improvements in water quality from the period of 2018 to 2020 up until 2022 relative to our 2014 baseline levels.
Chagask says it's also necessary to generate financially rewarding career opportunities with a favourable work-life balance. Michael Egan says that sustainability needs to be applied to all aspects of the farming enterprise.
We have shown that some of the most efficient farms in terms of their workload strategies, in terms of their start time, their end time, their labour efficiency, hours worked per cow, are coming from our grass-based production systems, an easy care cow in terms of high EBI, high genetic merit, good work in our organisation, outsourcing to contractors where applicable in terms of on-farm, and having good facilities and technologies. And as a such, in hand, our labour-efficient farms tend to be more profitable, and our more profitable farms tend to be more economically sustainable too, and and environmentally sustainable because they're implementing high levels of grass utilized per hectare, high levels of herd maturity in terms of reducing replacement rates on farms, using higher levels of protected urea, currently at 14%, we need to get that much higher, reducing the level of crude protein on farms. So again, it's not just, we all talk about environmental sustainability, but it has to be environmental, financial and social.
And that's all from Ayres to Protect for this week. You can get more information on lmfm.ie, and we'll be back again with a new episode at the same time next week.